Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This set meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1648. It's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, January 27th, 2026. Which in UTC time is Wednesday, January the 28th, 2026 at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, also the 443.325 repeater in Katy, and they both have a PL tone of 123.0. And then there's also the 146.7 repeater downtown and its network repeaters. And then there's the AMSAT DMR Talk Group, 98006. YSF Fusion is 11689. The All-Star node is 572580 when those connections are working. And then there's also EchoLink, and that's at star, AMSAT star. Okay, I will now take any check-ins.
This is Kilo Delta 5, Papa Quebec Julia, Herbert, West Houston.
Okay, good evening, Herbert. KV5PQJ, welcome aboard this evening. We have anybody else out there?
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, W5 Charity, Carl, Jersey Village.
PL123. Ah, very good. Loud signal there, Carl. Good evening. WD5JRD up there in Jersey Village. We got you down, and we got anybody else? Okay, well, we have a exciting announcement that the balloon from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team, WV5Y-15, was launched today by Walter, K5WH, at about 10:30 a.m. So it's up and flying. It kind of went about right across George Bush Intercontinental Airport at about, looks like about 13,000 to 17,000 feet or so, and continued east. So made it over there, almost to Beaumont over there, and it looks like maybe the GPS lost its lock or it's quit transmitting. So we're looking forward to seeing what kind of beacons we get tomorrow. Okay, so once again, that's can be found over at apparis.fi, and that's WV5Y-15. Well, it's also, that's BLT number 170, BLT 170. So, appreciate Walter giving us that little commemoration there by putting our call sign on a balloon. And, of course, the South Texas Balloon Launch Team does hold their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that's at 4:30 p.m. here at a local restaurant, and then they have a further meeting there on Zoom on the internet, and that's over at k5wh.net/zoom, and anybody is welcome aboard. So we appreciate that coming from Walter, K5WH. All right, well, we're going to switch gears here and go over to the AMSAT service bulletin. Okay, this week's ANS bulletin is number 25, and it's from Frank Kanoskis, N1UW. And the AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including the reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And also the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And if you'd like to see the ANS bulletins just show up in your inbox every week, you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service bulletins. And to join the to do that, you join the ANS list, and that's at mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, we want to remind folks that if you'd like to make a quick phone check-in to the Houston AMSAT Net, you can do so by calling 713-467-9870. You can also send an APRS message, and that would be to WV5Y, like West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy's like to say. And that email is WV5Y@comcast.net. All right, we've got the FO-29 operating schedule for February 2026. The FO-29 control team sometimes receives requests regarding the operation of Fuji number 3, but as they have already reported more than a quarter of a century after its launch, the situation remains unstable. They regret that they are unable to operate Fuji number 3 in accordance with your wishes under these circumstances, and they ask for your understanding and continued use of her. During February, the control team plans to send a command to turn on the transponder at the following times, but please be advised that if it is not turned on for more than 2 minutes after they start sending the command, they will terminate the command work. And so their first attempt will be there on February the 6th at 23:14, the 7th at 22:19, the 13th at 22:03, the 14th 22:53, the 20th 22:36, the 21st, 23:27, the 27th, at 23:10, and the 28th, at 22:12. Okay, they don't specifically say that these are UTC times, but I would assume so. It says FO-29 will enter full sunlight around March the 9th. Editor's note, full sunlight will hopefully allow continuous operation of FO-29's linear transponder. And the sources will come from Japan, and that's at www.jarl.org/Japanese /3_Fuji/Fuji3-2022.10.htm. And we want to thank the JARL for that information. Okay, this is Marty, the V5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Well, if you join AmSat now during this first part of the year, this membership renewal period, or you renew your membership, well, you can download a free copy of Getting Started with Amateur Satellites.
W5BSA Repeater.
Okay, you can renew at any time, but membership renewals also qualify. It's a limited time offer, so go over to launch.amsat.org/membership. And sorry, I don't think it's available for those with lifetime memberships, but those that are renewing or first joining, then check out the guide. Okay, the ESA-led CCSDS competition registration is now open. David Johnson, G4DPZ, AMSAT UK, Honorable Secretary, reminds everyone that the ESA-led competition, in collaboration with AMSAT UK, AMSAT DL, the CCSDS, and Goonhilly Earth Station, is now open to European and Canadian teams and individual participants. Interest will work on real space communication standards, including CCSDS and LunaNet protocols. The European Space Agency, or the ESA, is launching a pilot program on behalf of the Consultative Committee for Space Data Systems, or the CCSDS. This outreach initiative aims to strengthen engagement with the European amateur satellite and academic communities. Participants may choose to develop implementations for either of these CCSDS protocols.
DL-123.
Okay, of the two directions they can go, this is the first one. It's LunaNet, Signal in Space, or LSIS-AFS. It defines how lunar orbiters or surface systems broadcast a unified navigation and timing signal to support future missions on and around the moon. Develop a functional concept or prototype demonstrating signal design, transmission, interpretation, or application for lunar missions. And in the other direction is the Space Communication Sessions Control, or the CCSDS 235.1. Okay, this defines how space missions establish, manage, and conclude communication sessions between spacecraft and ground systems, create a practical, interoperable reference implementation aligned with the CCSDS 235.1 standard. All right, winners will receive an invitation to attend a Consultative Committee for Space Data Systems conference where they will present their results to the international CCSDS community. an in-person workshop at Goon Hilly Earth Station will be available to interested participants, providing a unique environment for collaboration, expert guidance, and accelerated development. You can register and learn more at esa-competition.amsat.uk.org/about. And we want to thank David Johnson, G4DPZ, AMSAT UK Honorable Secretary, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. Looks like we're right about a quarter past the hour here, so we're going to take a quick look around and see who we've had checking into the net. Okay, see, we did have some action off of the landline there today. And we got a check-in there from Charlie, K5BNG, over there in West Houston. And also, we had a good chat with Andrew, KC5LWY, down there in Galveston. So we're glad to get both of y'all checked in there. And let's see, we've got Dale, WD0AKO. He's out there in Moorhead, Minnesota, in the cold country. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. He's got that on automatic, so we appreciate him doing that for us. And we have had to use it once or twice. So thank you there, Dale. And then hello to Vern, WA0RCR. And he's out there in Wentzville, Missouri. And he's got a big station that transmits program on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, and that's at 5:30 and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. And so we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band there on the weekend. And then we want to say hello to Kai, and that's N6ZZO, and he's one of our podcast listeners. And we did talk to him on the phone line there this week also. And he's running a little bit behind, I guess. But we appreciate him calling and checking in there and letting us know what's going on. And he's out there in McKinleyville, California. Okay, from the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. And we want to say hello there to Clay, KG4OZW, and also to Rachy. So we got a hello Marty there on IRC, so we know things are working good over there. Okay, we want to thank Bruce, KK5DO, for making the nice URLs available there for us on the internet, and that's over at our website. That's at www.amsatnet.com. So you can check out the URLs if you want to dive any deeper into any of the issues we discussed. And then also, he's got information over there on how you can get awards and certificates for making satellite contacts, even your first one. So if you'd like to get a certificate for having a satellite contact, check it out. And thanks to Bruce, and that's over at www.amsatnet.com. And then there's a lot of great, great info for satellite operators, like the status of the satellites, like which ones are working, which ones currently are not working, and the frequencies that they operate on, their uplink frequencies and downlinks and telemetry frequencies. And then there's also information when it rolls around on where the symposium is going to be next year And then there's the store, well, which is now this year. And then there's the store, so don't forget about that. You can buy satellite antennas even, and you can get a discount and keep keep amateur radio satellites in space. We've got Steve, K5YSC. Good evening to Steve. Hope he's doing good this evening. And then we've got Mitch, 80HJ. He's up there in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, there's the Wednesday night AmSat Net, and that takes place, that's a digital net. It takes place on DMR. So you can have a reason to turn on your DMR handy talkie and get it talking through your hotspot. And it's on the AmSat talk group of 98006. And it's YSF Fusion. It's 11689. And that's at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday there. So if you're going to be making any roads, making any grid squares available out there for satellite operators, well, let Mitch and that crew know about that, because that's what they're interested in. So we appreciate him doing that for us. And so we have Bob, K9OIM, good evening. Hello to Bruce, KK5DO. Once again, he's got our URLs out there. Hi to Dave, WB7DRU, up there in Howard Lake, Minnesota. And, of course, Dave's been listening to our net for, like, decades now, since we were on the landline there to Minneapolis. So, good evening to him. And hello again to Andrew, KC5LWY, and he's down there in Galveston. And then we've also got Damien, AG9P, and he's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin. So good evening to Damien. I hope he's doing good this evening. All right, well, the 2026 coins, appropriately, are here. So you can help support Golf T and Fox Plus and add to your collection of the President's Club. So the annual membership starts at only $120. So you can join the AmSat President's Club today. Help keep amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club.
DL-123.
Okay, well, it looks like Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, AmSat VP Development, and folks are putting out a help wanted for feature story editors and a video editor. Sharing news and AmSat activities, especially the work of the AmSat Engineering Department, is an important function that supports AmSat's information and education mission. It's also an important tool for retaining current members, recruiting new members, and for fundraising. Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, AmSat VP Development, is asking, do we have two volunteers who can step up and spend just a few hours a week to help keep our information channel flowing? For the feature story editors, we have a pool of information that we've collected from Hamvention and symposium presentations that can be quickly converted into short stories for publication in the ANS weekly bulletins and into feature stories for the ANSAT journal. We typically start with a video or at least an audio recording of the presentation, which you would convert into a written transcript using an application that we provide. The editor then uses the transcript and the author's original PowerPoint slides to create the final articles. Since we also have the need for someone to write press releases for other AMSAT activities, such as educational resources, the youth initiative, annual reports, and so on. For the video editor, again, we have a collection of videos from presentations that simply need opening titles to be added and a bit of tuning up inside the presentations themselves. There is no need for expensive software or especially super high-power computers. Free software that is remarkably powerful but easy to learn is available. If a person is interested, we would also welcome someone to create promotional video shorts or other programs that they're willing to create. We are not asking anyone for a lifelong commitment to these positions. Anyone who's willing to say, hey, I can do 5 or 10 stories, would be a hero in my book. Persons interested in learning more about how they can make an important contribution can contact Frank at volunteer@amsat.org. And we want to thank Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, AMSAT VP of Development, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5OI with the Houston AMSAT Net. And if you need new satellite antennas, like I alluded to earlier, well, you can purchase M2 LEO packs from the AMSAT store. And when you purchase your M2 LEO pack, you do get a little bit of a discount they have worked out for the folks purchasing through AMSAT. And you get to help keep amateur radio in space. So that's where a portion of the proceeds goes. So you can just go over to amsat.org/product-category/hardware. And look at what is currently available. Okay, we've got there's a little bit of an interesting article here. It's using neural networks to recover satellite signals. Edwin Temporal has shown how his proprietary neuromorphic engine, Ghost Hunter, anti-LIF, is being used to recover satellite data buried in the noise floor, which typical DSC methods would fail to do. To recover the signals, Edwin uses trained spiking neural networks, or SNNs. SNNs are artificial neural networks that draw further inspiration from nature by incorporating the spiking on-off behavior of real neurons. Edwin writes, "My engine has successfully extracted and decoded structured data from high-complexity targets by mimicking biological signal processing." There's TechnoSat, successful decoding of GFSK modulations under extreme frequency drift in low signal-to-noise ratio conditions. And then there's the MIT RF Challenge, Advanced Recovery of GPSK Signals, where traditional digital signal processing, or DSP, often fails to maintain synchronization. These missions are fully documented in the Temporal Edwin 58-creator.github.io/ghosthunter-database. And of course, that link's over there at amsatnet.com, which serves as a public ledger for my signal recovery operations. Furthermore, the underlying anti-LIF architecture is academically backed by my publication on TechRxiv, providing its efficiency in processing signals deep within the noise floor. In the database, Edwin shows how his anti-LIF system has recovered C.W. Morse code telemetry and GPSK data from noisy satellite signals. While Edwin's anti-LIF is proprietary, he is offering proof-of-concept decoding. If someone has a 250 megabyte or less IQ SIGMF / wave recording of the signal that is buried in the noise floor, they can submit it to him via his website, and he will run anti-LIF on it for analysis. Advanced readers interested in AI or neural network techniques for signal recovery can also check out his white paper on TechRxiv, and that's at tinyurl.com/ans-025-neural-networks, where he shows signal recovery from signals buried in Wi-Fi noise, as well as results from use in ECG and healthcare applications. And ANS thanks rtl-sdr.com for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Eastern AmSatNet. Now we're just a couple minutes here past the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby and see if we have any more check-ins to the net. So any other check-ins to the Eastern AmSatNet, please come now. Okay, well, it looks like we've got a new high number for the 2025 President's Club members' contributions, and they're at $90,379.
DL-123.
AMSAT President Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA. Thanks, 2025 President's Club members who, together, have donated an amazing $90,379. It is because of these especially generous donors that AMSAT has the resources to help keep amateur radio in space. With the Fox Plus and Golf T satellites nearing flight readiness, AMSAT especially appreciates these contributions to help purchase flight-proven parts, specialized software licenses, test fees, shipping, and travel costs. It's just couldn't be done without their support. Okay, we got a list of contributors. The contributors include at the diamond level, which is $10,000 plus. We have Barry Baines, WD4ASW, Bill Byram, N5BB, and Walter Wittenberg, K0CEH. Thank you very much. All right, the titanium level is $4,800 plus. We've got Alan Biddle, WA4SCA, William Brown, K9LF, and then there's Bruce Page, KK5VO. What do you know? Thanks, Bruce and Alan and William. Okay, the platinum stage, which is $2,400 plus, we've got Steve Belter, N9IP, Ray Crafton, KN2K, Frank Kanaskis, N1UW, Douglas Tabor, N6UA, and James Titzler, 7J1AJH. Okay, the gold level is $1,200 plus, which is Dwight Osakir, K9QJ, Burns Fisher, WB1FJ, Mark Hammond, M8MH, Kenneth Henze, WA9ARE, John Cluck, K7SYS, Glenn Miller, A5PK, and Mary Lou Montiero. Okay, then the silver level is $600 plus. We've got Warren Fugate, W3WE, Mark Johns, K0JM, Joseph Lynch, N6CL, Jason Swartz, N4JJS, Scott Shaheen, WB800J. All right, then the bronze level is $300 plus. We've got Keith Baker, KB1SF, Cox Science Center and Aquarium, the Edward Crumb, K9EK, Donald Pettigrew, K9ECT, Bruce Simple, WA3SWJ, Barbara Simpson, KA5CFB, Thomas Talley, K0CFI, Dave Taylor, W8AAS, and Chris Tainer, N1KET. And then in the core level, which is starts, it's $120 plus, and the top position, we've got Mitch Ehrenstorf, 80HJ. Thanks, Mitch. We've got Alan Boggs, K7IIV, Richard Dittmer, KB7SAT, Ronald Gilbert, N0XRG, David Hartram, WA3YDZ, Oimo Kato, we've got John Larrick, W3FL, Brian Loveman, WI7WXP, Doug Papai, K8DP, Carlos Picoto, AB9NP, and Mario Picoto, KJ7TIM.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, also at the core level here, we have William Pessy, N4WLP, Tim Pierce, N9PN, Mary Schroeder, KB4HSL, Martin Shinko, KB3AEV, Fillmore Smith, W1EME, Paul Stotzer, N8HM, David Vine, WA1EAW, Wayne Wagner, AG1A, and Jim Wilmerding, W2MNU. And we want to say thanks to those contributors, and say thanks to AMSAT. Okay, well, if you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition and getting out and about making satellite contacts from the mobile or portable, well, you can get your AMSAT car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And when you do, 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And so it helps us out, helps you out. And the URL is www.zazzle.com/AMSAT_gear. Well, it looks like there's some changes to the AMSAT North America TLE distribution for January the 26th, 2026. Two-line elements or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. So this is the file that you just downloaded once a week from the website, and it will update all the positions of the satellites in your satellite tracking program on your computer. And then when you listen, well, the satellite will actually show up when your computer program says it will. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. And you can find more info over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And this week, the following satellite has been removed from this week's AMSAT TLE distribution, and that's ZIMSAT 2, or NORAD Catalog ID 61783. It decayed from orbit on or about the 19th of January 2025. I think that probably means to be 2026. I think there's a little typo there. Okay, we want to say thanks to Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. All right, Aris News. We've got some contacts coming up now. We've got some scheduled contacts. Amateurs and others around the world, they may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts and JAXA astronauts aboard the International Space Station. The downlink frequency on which to listen is on 145.800 MHz worldwide. Okay, it looks like this weekend there's the Con Magnet Elementary School in Raleigh, North Carolina. They're going to have a contact direct via K4EB. The ISS call sign is scheduled to be NA1SS, and the scheduled crew member is Chris Williams, KJ5GEW. The ARIS mentor is Robert Kopke, AA6TB. The contact is go Friday, January the 30th, 2026 at 15:21:05 UTC.
PL123.
Okay, they say watch for a live stream for that one. And you find that over at YouTube. That's at www.youtube.com/AMPER/CONNMAGNETES. And, of course, that's the Con Magnet Elementary School. All right. So we've got Lyceum, number 23, in Kaliningrad, Russia, is going to have a contact. And the ISS call sign is scheduled to be RS0ISS with crew member Sergey Mikeyev. The ARIS mentor is ARC Energia, RV3DR. Contact is go for Thursday, February the 5th, 2026 at 10:45 UTC. The crossband repeater continues to be active. It's on 145.990 megahertz up with a peel tone of 67. And then you listen right around 437.800 megahertz, plus or minus, for the Doppler shift there on the downlink. And then if any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the microphones, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. You might give a shout to talk to somebody else on the ground and end up to talking to one of the astronauts. Okay, the backup system is also active, and it's on 145.825 megahertz up and down. But, as always, if there's an EVA, docking or undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And they also say note, all times are approximate. It is recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before the times that we list, since we don't know exactly where you are, so it's going to vary. The latest information on the operation mode can be found at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.aris.org/contact-v-iss.html. Okay, we want to thank Charlie Stefana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors, for that information. This is Marty, WD5Y, on the Houston AMSAT net. Let's see here. We've got some AMSAT ambassador activities and things going on coming up. AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites, and host information tables, the club meetings, HamFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. Let me grab this. We got a quick check in there for Vern, WA0RCR. It's always nice hearing his voice there. So, once again, he does transmit our net at 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as he likes to say. And that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So, thank you very much there, Vern. And sounding good. All right, well, everybody, this week, I guess, or actually for next weekend, well, February the 13th through the 15th, but a lot of folks around here leave like around a week early, and they go to Hamcation 2026, and that is at the Central Florida Fairgrounds and Expo Park over there in Orlando, Florida, and that's on the Colonial Drive. And AMSAT will have a table and many items available for purchase. You can contact Dave Jordan, AA4KM, to volunteer if you're going to help out. And his email address is n4citwo@bellsouth.net. Okay, then we've got March 21st, 2026, the Midwinter Madness Ham Fest 2026, and that's at the Maple Grove Radio Club, Buffalo Civic Center, 1306 County Road 134 in Buffalo, Minnesota, 55313. And the URL is k0ltc.org/midwinter/madness. And you should see K0JM, AD0HJ, and KE0PBR all together there. That's madness right there. And we'll say thanks to Bo Lowry in W4FCL, the director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSat Net. Well, luckily, the creek didn't rise too hard, it didn't freeze over, and we did have a pretty good rain there, but the rain pretty much stopped before the really cold weather hit, so we were spared from the ice storm. So, good thing. Let's see, we're down to satellite shorts from all over. Looks like a key antenna in NASA's Deep Space Network, or DSN, one that was damaged last fall, is expected to remain offline until May. Then it will be taken out of service again later this year for major upgrades. The DSS-14 antenna, a 70-meter dish at the DSN complex in Goldstone, California, was damaged September the 16th when it over-rotated, stressing cabling and piping. DSS-14 is one of three 70-meter antennas in the DSN. The others are located near Madrid, Spain, and Canberra, Australia. 70-meter antennas are used to communicate with distant spacecraft or those experiencing technical problems. And AMS thanks New Space for that information. All right, unfortunately, China suffered a pair of launch failures within 12 hours on January the 16th and January the 17th. This included the loss of a classified Xizhen satellite after a Long March 3B lifted off at 1655 UTC from Exicheng Satellite Launch Center in southwest China. The China Aerospace Science and Technology Corporation, the CASC, confirmed a failure around 12 hours after liftoff, stating that the Xizhen 32 satellite had been lost following a third stage anomaly. Roughly 12 hours later, the Ceres 2 lifted off at 0408 UTC on January the 17th from the Wuhan Satellite Launch Center in northwest China. And Galactic Energy confirmed the loss of the debut flight, stating that an anomaly had occurred and that the specific cause is under further investigation. And ANS thanks News Space News for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat net.
BL-123.
Okay, let's see here. From Modern Engineering Marvels, from 16 hours ago, Orion's heat shield isn't behaving normally. So NASA is rewriting the way it comes home. The heat shield of Orion, returned by Artemis 1, was battered and bruised over 100 times, and NASA intends to put 4 people on the next one. Artemis 2 is constructed on the basis of a mere promise with complex engineering behind it. A crewed orbit around the moon and a safe reentry through the atmosphere of Earth. The spacecraft that highlighted that promise, Orion, contains a well-known weakness in the Avcode heat shield, which will need to take the impacts of lunar reentry conditions that can reach 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit or 2,760 degrees centigrade. The capsule bursts through the atmosphere, resulting in lunar return velocities. It is not the heat shield burning that is the concern it is designed to. What is feared is that in Artemis 1, Avcode was not fading away. It broke and bled off, leaving pits throughout the shield. NASA, even in its own watchdog, recorded over 100 sites on the heat shield where material chipped away unexpectedly, an outcome that made engineers go a multi-year ground test heavy hunt to find the root cause. That inquiry eventually narrowed down to one failure mode, trapped gas in the Avcode. In NASA technical explanation, gases created during the ablation process were unable to escape and dissipate on the desired manner since the material was not permeable and pressure arose until cracking took place and burnt material peeled off. The agency recreated the Artemis 1 scenario in ArcJet facilities in the NASA Ames Research Center, after which observations were compared with flight data. Engineers determined as Orion was returning from its uncrewed mission around the moon, gases generated inside the heat shield's ablative outer material called Avcode were not able to vent and dissipate as expected, NASA's statement explained. This allowed pressure to build up and cracking to occur, causing some charred material to break off in several locations. The case of Artemis 2, the change of entry is the core mitigation of NASA, but not its structure. The reentry profile will retain the heat shield used on the return of the capsule for the time spent in the narrow regime which caused the porous cracking characteristics during the skip-style entry of Artemis 1 will be minimized. To put it another way, the agency is attempting to modify the environment in which the material experiences occurs, or as opposed to requesting the material to act otherwise. Okay, well, we'll be finding more out here shortly in the future. Okay, well, we want to remind everybody that you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Students are eligible for free membership now up until the age of 25, and memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space, and that comes from this week's ANS editor, Frank Kanauskas, N1UW. That's f.kanauskas@amsat.org. Okay, well, we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AMSAT Net, so stay safe out there, stay warm, keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts. Good luck in everybody finishing out their WWA awards. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston, and Bruce, KK5DO up there in Roman Forest, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AMSAT Net.